our Lord and Savior. Amen. Several years ago, a Jewish rabbi by the name of Harold Kushner wrote a book entitled, When Bad Things Happen to Good People. He wrote that book to explain why God allows evil, suffering, and death in this world. Now, Rabbi Kushner had a very personal reason for dealing with that question. You see, prior to writing his book, Rabbi Kushner's young son died of a very painful terminal disease. So I can understand why Rabbi Kushner was in pain, and I can understand why he had questions. So then, what was his answer as to why God allows bad things to happen to good people? Well, in his book, he concludes that this being that we call God, well, he's really not the all-powerful creator we read about in the Holy Scriptures. No, instead, Rabbi Kushner teaches that even though God is a more highly evolved being than we are, and even though God is more powerful than we are, well, this God is simply not all-powerful, and he is simply not in control of most things. This God loves us, he says, but he simply cannot rescue most people from the bad things that happen because God is simply not in control. Now, why does Rabbi Kushner come up with this view of God? Well, the reason, he says in his book, is that he is willing to believe in a God of love who was not able to heal his son, but he would refuse to believe in a God who could have healed his son, but chose not to do so. Sadly, Rabbi Kushner is wrong for at least two reasons. First, Scripture clearly teaches that God is the creator of the universe and he is in control of all things. Nothing happens in this world apart from the will of God, including suffering and death. Secondly, Rabbi Kushner wrongly assumes that some people, like his son, he assumes that they are good people who don't deserve to have bad things happen to them. But Scripture clearly teaches that we are all sinners who deserve nothing but God's wrath. As you know, many people in North Dakota, including some in the Jamestown area, have been affected in negative ways by floodwaters. As people watch rivers rage out of control, destroying homes and other property, we begin to wonder why God allows such things to happen. Well, some people deal with this question by coming up with the erroneous idea that things like floods are really not God's will at all, but they're caused by the devil. So people like this have a picture of God in heaven, wringing his hands in frustration, looking down upon us and saying, "Oh, I feel so sorry for those people. I wish I could do more to help them, but that devil keeps raging out of control. If I could just pin him down, things would be better, but I can't seem to keep him from doing some of those things that he wants to do. It's so hard for me to watch my people suffer. I wish I could do more to help them." So is that why we have floods in North Dakota? Are the floodwaters caused by an out-of-control devil who does as he pleases, even though God doesn't want him to do those things? No. This is not what God teaches about himself in Holy Scripture. You see, the Bible is very clear that God is the creator and he is in control of all things. Even the devil cannot make a move unless God allows him to do so. In fact, if you read the book of Job, you will find that the devil wants to bring suffering and pain into Job's life, but he can't do that without getting God's permission first. In other words, all things happen because of God's will, including our suffering. That's right. God could have stopped the floods in North Dakota if that were His will. In Psalm 93 we read, "The seas have lifted up, O Lord. The seas have lifted up their voice. The seas have lifted up their pounding waves. Mightier than the thunder of the great waters, mightier than the breakers of the sea, the Lord on high is mighty." A few years ago, you may recall, an ocean tsunami devastated various areas of this world. Many people died. You know, nothing humbles us more than out-of-control ocean waters that can cause so much damage and death. Yet, according to Psalm 93, God is far more mighty than the waters. In fact, God created the waters. That is why Jesus could say, "Be still," and the winds and the waves obeyed Him. So what do we learn from this? Simply put, whatever flooding did take place in North Dakota, that was part of God's will for us. Now, I know that this seems shocking at first. I mean, why would God do this? Can such a God who allows such things, can such a God comfort us? But what we must understand is that we would have absolutely no comfort if God were merely some more highly evolved being who can only handle a few events here and there. In fact, such a false God as this could not save us from our greatest enemies of all, our enemies known as sin and death. We must remember that the all-powerful God who allows our suffering, this is the same all-powerful God who willingly suffered for us to save us from the punishment that our sins deserve. And this same all-powerful God also conquered death for us that we might have the hope of living forever in His love. Let's face it, in addition to terminal illness and floodwaters, there are many other examples of physical suffering and natural catastrophes in this world. Scripture teaches that God allows these things to happen to get our attention. You see, the trials and tribulations of this world remind us that we are not in control. Even more, the trials and tribulations of this world are God's sign to us that we have sinned against Him. In other words, our greatest enemy is not physical illness or floodwaters. Our greatest enemy is our own sin against God and the eternal damnation that we deserve. For example, in Psalm 32, King David writes these words. He says, "Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him." Now let me tell you something about King David. King David was not living in some ivory tower removed from the reality and difficulty of life. No, King David experienced various types of physical suffering and difficulty just like you and I do. In fact, he eventually faced physical death itself. Nevertheless, King David knew what he needed most of all. David knew that he needed to confess his sins and trust in God for salvation from sin and death. And so David wrote these words. He wrote, "I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to you while you may be found. Surely, when the mighty waters rise, they will not reach him." Did you hear those words at the end of that quotation? David said that the mighty waters will not reach those who confess their sins and trust in the Lord. Now, does David mean that if you trust in God, river water will never get into your home? No, that's not what he means. You see, the mighty waters that David is talking about are the overwhelming flood of our sins that would have drowned us forever unless God had rescued us. You see, far more threatening than any flooding river or any ocean tsunami, far more threatening is the raging flood of our guilt before a holy God. This holy God ought to damn us forever. But listen to what David writes about our holy God. He writes, "You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble." My friends, Jesus is better than a trillion sandbags when it comes to protecting us from the mighty waters of our sin. There will never be a breach in the dike that Jesus laid down when he laid his life down on the cross for you and for me. When Jesus died on the cross with our guilt on his back, he allowed the mighty waters of our sin to drown him so that we could be safe in his love forever. In our gospel reading, Jesus says, "Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house upon the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock." My friends, Jesus is the rock, and his words bid us to repent of our sin and trust in him for salvation every moment of every day. And as we trust in Christ for salvation from our guilt, and as we strive to conform our lives to his loving plan for us, we can be sure that we are forgiven and that we are secure in God's love for all eternity in spite of what we face in this world. In fact, when we trust in Jesus, we do not have to fear the trials of this life. We don't even have to fear death itself. You see, God's word tells us that he allows suffering in our lives, not because he hates us, but because he loves us. He allows suffering only to strengthen our faith in him, and also to give us an opportunity to witness to others about the hope that we have in Jesus in spite of what we're going through in life. Not only did Jesus die for our sins, but he rose from the dead and conquered death for us. That means Jesus lives, and those who trust in him can look forward to the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting, as we confess at the end of the creed. However, the devil doesn't want us to trust in Jesus. That's why Jesus gives us this loving warning. He says, "Everyone who hears these words of mine but does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down and the streams rose and the winds blew and beat against that house and it fell with a great crash." Jesus is warning us about the danger of unbelief. If we deny our sin, or if we think we can deal with our sins by making deals with God, if we see no need for Jesus, and if we have no desire to hear his word and receive his gifts, if we trust in our own wisdom and care nothing for God's will for our lives, if we focus only on our earthly problems but ignore the fact that we need to be delivered from the mighty waters of our sin, well then, we have built our house on sand and it will fall with a great crash. We will spend eternity separated from God's love, drowning in the guilt of our sin. But my friends, the good news is that this does not have to be our fate. Jesus loves you, and that's why he spoke his word to you this morning. Jesus wants you to come to him in humble repentance, confessing your sins and trusting in his loving sacrifice for you, knowing for certain that if you trust in him, the mighty waters will not reach you. King David writes these words, "I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. Do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, but must be controlled by bit and bridle, or they will not come to you. Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the man who trusts in Him. Simply put, the wicked are those who justify their sin and see no need for the mercy of God. But in contrast, the godly are those who have been convicted of their many sins and who trust in Christ as their Savior and know that His plan for their lives is best. By the grace of God, we are godly. That means we trust in Jesus. We come to Him with our many sins and trust in the One who died and rose for us to rescue us from the mighty waters of sin and death. In fact, the same God who saved Noah and his family from the mighty waters of the flood, this same God has used the mighty waters of holy baptism to save you from sin and death. Listen carefully to these words of God from 1 Peter chapter 3. He writes, God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. In it only a few people, eight in all, were saved through water. And this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand, with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to Him. You know what that means? The Jesus who claimed you as His own in baptism, He reigns on high and He is in control of all things. Never forget that Jesus holds all creation in His hands and therefore He holds you in His hands. And nothing can separate you from the salvation He won for you by His death and resurrection. So when you leave today, may these words of King David, inspired by the Holy Spirit, may they direct your lives. David writes, Let everyone who is godly pray to you while you may be found. Surely when the mighty waters rise, they will not reach him. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.